Good afternoon or early evening to everyone. I'm Robin Tanner. When we undertook this project of developing an active living plan, I was actually working for DeKalb County Board of Health. I've since then working as a consultant because I had a late in life blessing, my son, who's now 3 and a half, so I'm trying to do things more around his schedule. But I definitely need to give credit to my colleagues from DeKalb County Board of Health, and we were actually funded to develop this active living plan in this community through a Centers for Disease Control and Prevention grant, Strategic Alliance for Health. I have no relationships to disclose. So our learning objective today is we're going to discuss the steps that our team used to develop and implement an active living plan in a culturally diverse neighborhood. So what do you think of when you hear the word active living? What are some words that pop into your mind?
Walking.
What else?
Living here.
Walking or biking for transportation, exercise or pleasure, easier access for those dependent upon assistive mobility technologies, playing in a park, enjoying the outdoors, taking the stairs, using recreation facilities. So the benefits of active living. These can be the benefits of active living. You can have improved physical fitness. The environment is improved. You have alternative ways to get around. Have any of you actually been in a car since you've been here? San Francisco is a great example of a city that's very conducive to alternative ways to get around. And improved air quality. I live in Atlanta, Georgia, and during the summer it's code orange almost every single day, and it's really disheartening because they tell you don't take your young child outdoors. Well, if any of you have or have had young children, that's kind of crazy on many levels. So why did DeKalb County Board of Health choose to work on this issue of developing active living plans? Well, just like the rest of the country, we have a problem with overweight and obesity in our county. In our county specifically, we did the Youth Risk Behavior Survey. Are most of you familiar with that or heard of it? We did it in the high schools and in the middle schools, and we saw that 29% of our high school students were overweight or at risk for overweight. 32% of our middle school students were overweight or at risk for overweight. We also did the behavior risk factor survey in our county, and 36% of the adults reported being overweight and 21% reported being obese. So with our Strategic Alliance for Health grant, we chose underserved areas in the community that would be conducive and had a stage of readiness to develop an active living plan. And we chose, one of the areas we chose is called Clarkston. Clarkston is a small community near Metro Atlanta, and we used, the DeKalb County Board of Health has had for several years called community health assessment areas, so we chose the specific community health assessment area, which include the city of Clarkston and the area surrounding it. So Clarkston is a small community, the population around 26,000, but 34% of the residents of Clarkston are foreign-born. Clarkston is a huge refugee resettlement area in the state of Georgia, and the median household income is around $41,000 for three people, and 17% of the residents live below the poverty line. This is a sign, a banner that flies in Clarkston. Their logo is Small Town Big Heart, and I think it's a very good description of the community. They have had some challenges, but they have embraced the fact that they became a refugee resettlement area in the early 90s, and there's many different languages spoken there, and it's a very culturally diverse community. So how did we develop the plan? Well, again, we specifically selected communities that we already had some established relationships with, because to develop active living plan and actually implement it successfully, you really can't start from the ground. You have to have some relationships already established. So we met with the mayor, who had been newly elected, but he quickly came on board and was very supportive of it. We were very fortunate that we had actually done a small pilot project in a small community. It was predominantly African-American low-income community called Belvedere that was in the south part of our county, south of DeKalb. And we had some good experiences and success with that. So we submitted a bid, and we were very fortunate. For those of you that probably worked with government agencies, you know all about the bidding process and how you have to go through that. But we were very fortunate. The contractor that won the bid was the contractor we've worked with in this other community, so we were thrilled because they'd done a really great job for us. So that actually made it easier, too. And then we actually formed a steering committee. We did surveys. We did walkability and bikeability assessments. We looked at current and existing plans. The Atlanta Regional Commission had done a livable community initiative 5 years prior to us doing this active living plan, but it had sat on the shelf. So we were able to use data from that and other existing plans. So that's one thing, when you go into a community, you don't assume nothing's been done. A lot of times things have been done and they've sat on the shelf for a while. So I'm going to go over some of these specific things. Our steering committee, we were very fortunate. Again, this had a great deal to do. I think every presentation I listened to this morning and this afternoon talked about relationships. I think for those of us in public health, we get that, or if we don't, we need to, because our steering committee was incredibly diverse and represented very different segments of the community. As you can see, we had someone from Refugee Family Services, very integral to developing an active living plan. We had representatives from DeKalb County Transportation, DeKalb County Planning. We had representatives from the public schools. We actually, in the Clarkston area that we were doing the active living plan, there was actually the Atlanta School for the Deaf. There was Georgia Premier College. We engaged all those people, and they were very active in our steering committee, as well as the YMCA, faith community. This is actually one of our city councilmen for the city of Clarkston. We were very fortunate, and they became engaged very early on, and they didn't just become engaged vocally. This is actually a picture of Mr. Moore at our bikeability assessment. He actually helped us complete the bikeability assessment. So the surveys that we used, for the adult survey, we used questions from the Twin Cities Walking Study from the University of Minnesota. And for the youth survey, we used the Neighborhood Environment Walkability Scale from San Diego State University. And as you can see, these are some of the topic areas that we ask questions on, with walking and cycling, safety from traffic, safety from crime. In the youth survey, we asked questions about their neighborhood surroundings. And in both surveys, we asked demographic questions. Now, in a very culturally diverse community, how do you think we got some of these surveys done? Exactly. There's trust issues, and those of you that have worked in public health are probably very familiar with that. And so it was very important that we actually have those relationships in the community where we could get people that were trusted in the community to actually take the surveys and help them complete them. We didn't, and we didn't have the funding for interpreters, but I think the best way and the way that we found was very successful. And then the faith organizations were wonderful. One of the large African-American churches in the community actually, on a Sunday, as part of the church service almost, I mean, not literally, but had them actually fill out the surveys right there with the youth group and the adults. We got a lot of input from the community that way. So adult survey results. I'm just going to highlight some of the results. 24% of the adults said they weren't walking because of heat and humidity, so that kind of gives you a clue as to the time of the year that we were doing this. Atlanta is incredibly, can be very wicked in the summertime as far as heat and humidity. You can just walk to your car, to your office, and be soaked. 22%, and this is no surprise, these are common things that people cite as the reasons they're not more active, lack of sidewalks and crosswalks. 20% noted neighborhood safety. Now, in some communities, a lot of times when people say neighborhood safety, it's more of a perceived than a real threat, but in this community, it was not just perceived. There was definitely some real threats with neighborhood safety, with gangs and things that had happened in the community. And then the improvements they suggested that would be helpful would be more sidewalks, better neighborhood safety, and better places to walk. And then from the youth survey, the things that they highlighted that the improvements that would be helpful were, they also said more sidewalks would be helpful. And when people say more sidewalks, one of the things I learned, and I was speaking to Joyce in the beginning, I learned so much in working with the planners. If none of you have ever worked with urban planners, you need to. They think a lot like us. They really think a lot like public health practitioners. And some of the things I learned from them when we were doing the walkability assessment is, you know, if you have a street where there's lots of nice shade and everything, you don't necessarily need to put a sidewalk there. A lot of times you think, oh, sidewalk is the answer, but if the street already has some great attributes, putting a sidewalk in, you might take away all the shade. And so just, you know, you learn things like that from working from colleagues outside of your area. Cycling, this again highlighting some results from the adult survey, 18% fear being hit by a car, and I kind of had to laugh at this one because I'm very fortunate. I'm a cyclist myself, and I actually ride through the Clarkson community to get out to Stone Mountain Park, for those of you familiar with that area. And I actually, the only time, well, I've been hit by a car twice, and once was in Clarkston, which is kind of just ironic that I ended up on this project. I was very fortunate. I was not hurt bad in either time I've been hit. 16% said neighborhood safety, 15% said lack of bike lanes, and some just didn't own a bike. Improvements they were suggesting, more bike lanes, improved safety, and better maintained roads. So the walkability assessment was done with members of our steering committee, community volunteers, and there's also great interns. My entire public health career, I could not have done the work that I've done without the wonderful interns I've had from the different universities in our area. And for those of you that have not utilized that asset, it is an incredible asset. And this is actually was my intern at the time, and this was one of our that Clarkson refers to as the Clarkstonians, a lady who's been there for a really, really long time and was very actively engaged in the community, came out and helped us do the walkability assessment. Walkability results. One thing that's real important when you're doing your bikeability and walkability assessments, don't just highlight what's wrong, really highlight what is right, too, so hence these two pictures. A very nice bus stop with the trash receptacle. The area is kept clean. You can see here the sidewalk is cracked, and then there's no curb cut or anything. Here, well, it's great. They have a slowdown that there's children at play, but it's right in the middle of the sidewalk. And then the mailboxes that are right in the middle of the sidewalk and the trash cans that are right in the middle of the sidewalk. And these are real pictures from our walkability assessment. Again, bikeability assessment, we are fortunate in Atlanta. We have a very active organization called the Atlanta Bicycle Coalition, and we contracted with them to help us with the bikeability assessment, but also got volunteers from the Southern Bicycle League, which is a very active cycling organization in the area, and then just, again, volunteers from the community and the steering committee. Bikeability results, roads that are in need of repair, again focusing on the positive. This intersection is well marked with crosswalks and stop signs. So what did we do when we got all this data together? How did we go about implementing the plan? Well, the steering committee prioritized recommendations based on the results of all the surveys, the walkability, the bikeability assessment, existing plans like the Livables Community Initiative, and then we actually formed subcommittees. People split up and said, this is the prioritized recommendation. I'd like to help, you know, see it through and spearhead. We looked at different funding resources that were available. We knew from our past experience at the Board of Health that we needed to make sure the community had ownership of this because funding runs out. And as a matter of fact, every colleague that I worked with right now, as of September, is no longer there at the Board of Health. So that just exemplifies why it is so important to have that community leadership. I mean, how many of you have worked on projects and the funding goes away? It goes. Raise your hand, be honest. Okay. So that's really what's so important for to have that community leadership and ownership so it can carry on. You want those kinds of things that you work so hard on to help the community. You don't want them to be a flash in the pan when the funding goes away and the Board of Health staff person is not there anymore. It ends. Partnerships is key in those relationships. So I wanted to highlight some of our implementation successes. And can we actually, if this is a hyperlink, will it work here? I have to try. Okay. No, unfortunately. Oh well. So much for that technology, but that's okay. I'll describe this safety video to you. Some interns from Emory University for the Seagal radio station in Clarkston actually did some pedestrian safety videos. And in this one, they did some role-playing with people walking across the street with their headphones on, texting, and getting hit by cars. It was very well done, and it was great. The city of Clarkston adopted a complete streets resolution. There were crosswalk improvements, bus shelter improvements, sidewalk improvements. Stop signs got added to an exit, and I'm going to show you some pictures of these. Also, lighting assessment was done, and something as simple as just calling the Georgia Power Company and getting them to fix street lights where the street lights were out was very helpful and made the people feel safer. And the steering committee got together and has done since this inception over a half a dozen litter and trash pickups and collected over 600 pounds of trash in the community. There's a new soccer field and a new trail at the local elementary school. So here's a picture of the upgraded bus shelter in the community. The soccer field was a joint use agreement through DeKalb County School System, the Board of Health, and the Decatur Family YMCA. And this has been a really successful model that's still going on and expanding within our county. And also there's actually now a walking track around the soccer field. This is an exit off of I-285. It's a big interstate, for those of you familiar with Atlanta. I try and stay off of it. but there is an exit called the Church Street exit. And when you were coming off that exit as a car, you couldn't see if there was a cyclist or a car coming. It was totally blind. They put in stop signs there. So now it's a lot safer for pedestrians, cyclists, and for cars. Crosswalk improvements. Squeaky wheel gets the oil is an important thing to remember. Department of Transportation and Planning knew that we were working very actively in the community and that the community was very engaged. So they found money to just restripe a lot of the crosswalks in the community, and that was very helpful, and put in some signs. This is a trail that they built at Indian Creek Elementary School that the community uses. These are volunteers. The gentleman with the hat on to your right in the white shirt above the child with the red shirt, he's just an exemplary member of the community. He's actually the PE and health teacher at the local school. So it's those internal champions as well as your partnerships can really make these things go. Lessons learned. We wish we had, when we did our walkability and bikeability assessments, this was kind of a new venture for us. We needed to include exact locations and measurements in the surveys to translate those to the Department of Planning and Transportation. We should have included bike and pedestrian counts. Fortunately, we've had, again, interns from the local university have come back and actually completed a lot of these things for us. But we should have done it in the beginning. I've mentioned this several times, but I want to mention it again. Community leadership and internal champions are essential for sustainability. Toot your own horn, and the squeaky wheel gets the oil. That is my son. He's now 3 and a half, but I am fortunate, to live in a community where I can actually, take him down the street. But several of us are not, and that's why it's so nice to work on projects like this. Another thing that was great about working with this community, when you have a lot of people who are refugees from other countries, they're used to walking and cycling. So the investment is really rewarding because they're going to actually want and use those resources where, unfortunately, a lot of us in America still just by habit, we'll jump in the car and go 1 mile when we really could have walked or cycled there. And there's my contact information. Any questions?